We're pleased to bring you part three of our four-part podcast series with Stephen Manley, Chief Technology Officer for EMC Core Technologies. In part two, Stephen introduced the data lake and how it can address many of the challenges presented by big data. Today's topic is data protection and why it's so critical that the data lake be adequately protected. So Stephen, now that we've established the business benefits of building a data lake and bringing all this data together, I would think the next step is to preserve its integrity. Can you tell us why protecting the data lake is so important to the business and how to get the right structure and solutions in place?
The right technology underpinning of the data lake, absolutely vital. So it begins with the core technologies you build on, and you need protection to be one of those things you think at as you go. So, and if you think about your data lake, what are some of the principles that you want? You want it to be pretty dynamically expandable. And the last thing you want is a heavy rainstorm of data comes in and your lake overflows and it floods the villages. That's a bad day. So you need something that's really dynamically expandable, that can really scale out as you need to scale out. And that's true both in terms of storage capacity as well as compute capacity. So you're going to want to move to an architecture or adopt an architecture that very seamlessly can grow and expand as you need to grow. So that's one of the fundamental underpinnings here. I think the second underpinning is, you want an infrastructure that again can support different methods of access. And this is where customers get into things like, well, I think I'm going to need Hadoop, or in certain cases, I'm going to want a columnar database, more like, in our case, a Greenplum. Or in some cases, I want to be able to run something like Cassandra or CouchDB. All these different technologies that are very exciting to them. You need an infrastructure that's going to be able to support all those so that you don't go to any particular user and say, we know that would be the right tool for you to run extract the information you need. But too bad, we picked an architecture that only supports method X, so you're just going to have to, you're going to have to try to figure out a different way to do what you need to do. You really want something that, in addition to being massively scalable and scale out, is also really multi-protocol and supports the different methods as you come in. And then we tie into that data protection piece. And it's critical in a couple of ways. First is, the amount of data you're looking at is so significant that if you make data protection an afterthought, you're going to wake up and you're going to say, wow, I've got myself a petabyte of data and I have no idea how I'm going to protect it. And then you start to sweat and you say, and if something happens to that petabyte of data, I'm in deep trouble, because suddenly businesses and organizations are depending on it and I don't have infrastructure. So I don't think data protection is something you can add at the end, because there's just too much data, too much scale, too many applications running against it. So step one, you've got to figure that out as you build out the rest of the infrastructure. Step two, as you do your data protection, you need to think about what is something that's going to scale as I grow. And traditional backup techniques probably aren't going to be your best fit here, because you're going to have to, again, try to read and then recover potentially petabytes of information. That's not really the sweet spot for where you want to scale. So we would recommend you look more at the sort of more storage integrated data protection mechanisms, things where you're really getting tighter to your data source so that you can have higher performance protection, higher performance recovery, more frequency of recovery, and storing data in sort of original native data format so that end users can get the data back that they need when they need it. So that's the how. And again, the why is pretty simply that the more you build this lake, what will happen is what happens at any recreational lake, any community lake. You don't know everything that people are doing there. You set up the basic rules, you make sure you're monitoring and that nobody's doing anything inappropriate. But the virtue of the lake is everybody can enjoy the lake in different ways and derive different value from it. But the thing that you know is if that lake shuts down, you will have thousands of people who are complaining and inconvenienced because you've taken away something that's sort of core to their experience. The same is true here. As soon as you set up one of these data lakes, I guarantee you, as a company, you will have users who find ways to use this that you never could have dreamed of. And 3 months in, those ways that they're using it have suddenly become absolutely critical to the business, whether it's to sales or the marketing team or the engineering team or the CEO or whoever it's finance, whoever it's going to be. And you need to make sure that that infrastructure is safe. Because once you've given them the tool and told them this is going to accelerate the business, you've got to make sure that just like anything else in the IT environment, anything else that's driving the business, that when something goes wrong, they can trust that it's going to get back up and running quickly, efficiently, and reliably. So you can't have a lower standard for your data lake. In fact, because there are so many people using it in such diverse ways, you actually need a higher standard of protection for your data lake to make sure it's there for everybody when they need it.
Stephen, thank you. This concludes part 3 of our Big Data podcast series. We've now discovered what big data is, the opportunities and challenges it presents, how a data lake can address many of these challenges, and why it's so important that the data in a data lake is protected. Don't miss our 4th and final segment, where Stephen will provide an account of his own real-life experience with building a data lake from the ground up.